Our first scripture reading is from Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 26. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Our second scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, verse 27 through 33. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Amen.
Amen to the word of God. Thank you. Yeah, the year of 2020 has just 1 month left. What do you say? Right? I keep hearing you say that I just wait for this year to be over, to be over. Right, what a year it has been. And what can you say to name what this year has been filled with? Definitely the first one that comes to our mind is the global pandemic. I was told that the over 13 million Americans have been diagnosed with the COVID-19 infection. And as we know, hundreds of thousands of people have been lost to COVID-19 complications. And we have seen that unequal impact of the pandemic have been in the lives of people, again, unequally. We see those unequal impact in what? Mass unemployment, division over poverty in this nation. And we have seen a roller coaster like a stock market. And COVID-19 and its impact were not all that this year has been about, right? America's political division, racial reckoning, and the wildfire, which is now in record of the history of nation, and extra powerful hurricanes and flood. So, did I miss anything? I know that you may have some other that come to your mind. But I'm not, okay, trying to bring you down. Okay, that's not what I wanted to do. Totally the opposite is what I wanted to do. But first, I want to acknowledge the reality that we have been living with for quite some time this year. Right, it has been a tough year. It has been a year with the realities of life that have been heavy, humbling, dreadful, raising our anxiety and worry. So, hear me say this. If there is ever a year we need Christmas, this is it. If there is ever a year where we need the hope of Christmas, this is it. If there is ever a year we need Christ, well, friends, this is the year. We begin today the season of Advent, a season of hope. Yes, it's all about hope. The word Advent literally means coming or arrival. The season of Advent is traditionally observed as a time of expectation, longing, anticipation, and waiting. As the first scripture reading reminds us today, we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience. So we do the longing, the waiting, and the hoping with the help from the lessons that this season gives to us. It's not a season of pretending to be, very merry, holy, and jolly, or covering up the pain or hardship that we have been experiencing during the past year, or not continue to experience. It's a season of digging deeper into the reality of what it means that God sent His Son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. So, I invite you to this season. Wherever you have been on your level of 2020 anxiety and upheaval, wherever you are on your own spiritual journey, I invite you to observe this season of Advent, even in the craziness and uncertainty of the pandemic, because we have good news. The good news that Christ comes. Ours is the greatest gift, Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So what we are going to do is to rediscover Christmas, rediscover the significance of Christmas. For the next 4 weeks, we are going to be exploring what God is bringing to us through the birth of Jesus Christ. With the help of Adam Hamilton's latest book titled Incarnation, each week we will consider one or more of the names or titles that are used by the gospel writers in their introduction to the story of Jesus. So today we begin with the meaning of the titles King and Messiah. That way we will rediscover the hope of Christmas. But the title King that is referred to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, reminds me of one old church joke, church humor, okay? So this is not a real story. Maybe you may say that is very likely. So one little boy, let's say maybe Floyd, who warned badly $100. Have you ever dreamed to have a $100? Right? Yes, right? So like a little Floyd who wants to have a $100 badly, maybe for a good cause, right? Then he prayed and God didn't answer, right? Then to give a $100, then Floyd decided to write the note to God to request $100. Then he finished writing it, and he was wondering where he should send this. And he just put on the address label, God USA. Then postal authorities wonder where this should be sent, right? Then the postal authority decide to send it to the White House, right? Okay, let them take care of this, this concern. Then the president, who was amazed and impressed with this request to God, decided, okay, write a note to the little Floyd saying, okay, yes. Then enclosed in the envelope, $50, because the president thought maybe $100 is too many to 7-year-old boy. Then Floyd opened it and was excited to receive a letter from God, right? And then he found the $50, then wrote the note back to God saying, God, I receive your gift, thank you. But for some reason, you had to send it through the Washington, D.C. I understand it. But you know what? As usual, they took half of it. Right? That's not the kind of king that we see in Jesus. No. But that is the kind of king that people of Israel were under in the time of Jesus. So that's why the gospel writer introduced Jesus with this title, as we see in the introductions in the gospel of Matthew and Luke. Matthew begins his telling of the Christmas story with these words. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. Right, the title Messiah was used. And you know the what is the title of Messiah meaning here? Maybe let's visit with the meaning of the Messiah after reading the Luke chapter 2. Here in the announcement of an angel to the shepherd about Jesus' birth, the angel said this: "Do not be afraid. Behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." The word Messiah literally means the anointed. As you know, in the history of Israel, and still in many cultures, a new king would be anointed by their prophets and priests in the name of God. And among the ancient kings, King David became the archetype of all future kings. And it was promised to the people of Israel that a descendant of David would rule over God's people forever. As we read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, which is one of the scripture reading that are traditionally read during Advent, it is prophesied about the promised king. "For us, a child is born, to us a son is given. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." This hope for an ideal king like David is known as the Messianic hope. And this Messianic hope was found even in the Annunciations, in the words of the angel to young Mary, that she would conceive a baby. And we hear the angel say about the Christ child in this word: "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over his kingdom there will be no end." First, it might have been found odd that it was spoken to personally Mary, but Mary knew that this was very familiar to her, as such messianic hope was upheld dearly in the hearts of the people of Israel. For how many years? As I said, if we count with the time of Isaiah, it had been upheld dearly in the people of Israel for 700 years. They have been waiting and waiting. So by the time of Jesus' birth, that hope was more deeply yearned for than ever. Because as I said, in those days, people of Israel were under the power of Roman Empire. Yes, they had the king called the Herod the Great. But he ruled over the world not as a just and righteous king as promised by God. No. He served an even greater king. Again, not the king of the kings, the Lord of lords in heaven. No, he served an even greater king, the emperor in Rome. People of Israel wanted to rise and to, confront with these false kings. But they were always defeated under the thumb of the Roman Empire. So it was a harsh day to live in. It was a day of conquest and brutality, and a time of, yes, despair, and a time of, I can say, hope. Why? Though it was dimmed, but there was a hope, because messianic hope. Hope and despair. I'd like to talk more about this today. To be honest, since last Sunday, where I finished my sermon with the proclamation that God promises to us a future with hope, as I finished my sermon with the proclamation that that promise is the real reason for our ongoing constant gratitude, the word hope has been capturing my heart and mind. And this is perhaps, as I said last Sunday, because There is nothing more needed than hope in this time of a pandemic. And I have learned that I may survive without vaccine, but I may not survive without hope. So I looked along my bookshelves to find a good book about hope. Then in a small booklet published by the Upper Room, I found the writing of Catholic Benedictine sister named John Chittister. And I quote, "Hope and despair are not opposite. They are cut from the very same cloth, made from the very same material, shaped from the very same circumstances. Every life finds itself forced to choose one from the other, one day at a time, one circumstance after another. Despair colors the way we look at things, makes us suspicious of the future, makes us negative about the present. Most of all, despair leads us to ignore the very possibilities that could save us, or worse, leads us to want to hurt as we have been hurt ourselves. Hope, on the other hand, takes life on its own terms, knows that whatever happens, God lives in it, and expects that whatever its twists and turns, it will ultimately yield its good to those who live it consciously, to those who live it to the hilt. When I say that I am in despair, I am really saying that I have given up upon God. Hope says, remember where you have been before, and know that God is waiting for you some places else now to go on again to something new." End the quote. Then I said this, "For in this I am survived. For in this hope I am sustained now." And that's what we read in the first scripture reading in the words of Paul today. "For in this hope we were survived." 3 chapters before it, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we read Romans 5, 5, like 5, 5, okay? And it starts this, "Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Again, I acknowledge, yes, the situation around us maybe breathes just a hopeless feeling. There are many disappointments. Like now, when pandemic surges, when trouble comes, when tragedy strikes, when life disappoints us, we, please know that we stand at the crossroad between hope and despair. Then with a sense of confidence that just as God has been faithful in the past, God will provide for the future, then let's live in the present with a distinct orientation toward the future. I like the quote that Reverend Hamilton cites from James Stuart, one of the best preachers of the 20th century. I quote again, "The world's dark night may still continue pressing in upon us, but if I have seen Christ, then I know the darkness of history is now shot through with unquenchable hope, and with the final certainty of the glorious outcome of all its struggles. Or to make it more personal, I may go down into the dark, but if I do, I know that I am still in the hands of Him who bears the scepter of all universe and everlastingly makes all things new here and hereafter. And therefore, well, I am safe forever." Probably here, He may not mean being safe physically, but being safe from the temptation and the power of evil. This is confidence from knowing who is the King of Kings. This is a hope that comes alive from the hand of the Lord and Lords. Therefore, we Christians live in the present, no matter what it is like, with unquenchable hope, with a distinct orientation toward the future. This season of Advent teach us to live to the future. That is what we see in the story of the young Virgin Mary who decided to cling to hope and said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Then she became the very first one who was blessed with the very first hand experience of Jesus the Messiah, as she had the one in her. Then I was wondering, up to this point, I wrote this sermon where I could finish my sermon with what? Then I shared this struggle, this kind of struggle, wrestle with my family at the table and Claire, who loves the Beatles nowadays. And he loves to play music of Beatles on his ukulele. And he starts singing this. When my dad finds himself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to him, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. What? Let it be? What? Let this sermon be ending here now? No. Then, speaking words of wisdom. Yes. Then I remember one story of wisdom from a little boy who is in the family of one of my friends. So I'd like to finish with the story of this 7-year-old boy named Oliver. He lives with his younger sister and with his loving parents, again, who are my friends, but who are worthy to be called my teachers. And I said he is a 7-year-old, and he turned 7-year-old on Thanksgiving Day this year. And Oliver's mom and dad were worried that it would be a sad birthday, Thanksgiving Day, to Oliver without his loved grandpa and grandma, uncle or aunt or cousins. No birthday, of course, where he would be the proud host of the party, surrounded by his friends from school. Instead, according to the words of mom and dad, it was a quiet Thanksgiving and Oliver's birthday. But Oliver said at the end of the day, it was the best because of mom and dad and his younger sister. And Oliver added to say, we can wait because we love. We can wait because we love. We can wait because we believe. We can wait because we are people of hope. That's what we do in this season of Advent. My beloved, no matter how dreadful your year has been, no matter what kind of problems and struggles you are on now, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you are in now, let's not give up on God, but wait on God. Let's not give in to despair, but keep hope alive in us. We can find hope in the arrival and life of Jesus. We can draw hope from God's love and faithfulness in fulfilling His long-awaited promise of the Messiah. And in the midst of whatever life is throwing at us, we can experience the hope of God's Spirit that is alive in us as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. In this hope, we can wait. Then, you know what? The waiting is not passive, because hope is not passive. Hope is something we do. Yes, one side, we feel overwhelmed by hopeless circumstances and even find ourselves in the deepest pain, but we do take a stance of confidence in knowing that we are known by God. God sees us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we do take a step toward hope. Again, hope is not passive. Hope is something we do. Christ is coming. Christ is for everyone. Thus, hope is for everyone. So choose hope over despair. Whatever happens in your life, God lives in it with you. Welcome Jesus into your heart and lives every day in this season of hope and anticipation. Because just as, yes, Floyd and Alyssa said in their litany of lighting the candle, something is emerging. Something is being shown in the light of God. Hope is for everyone, as Christ is for everyone. Thanks be to God.